Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everyone. This is Bill Cloud. I want to welcome you to this week's program. I hope that you tuned into last week's program. We began what we're calling concealed and revealed, the concept that the Creator at times has hidden things within His Word, and yet there comes an appointed time when He's going to reveal those things. And we're going to continue in that theme today and kind of expound just a bit more and show and underscore this truth that there are those hidden things within Scripture. So as we begin our Bible study today, we want to go back to a verse that we read to you last week. That's taken from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. And it says this: "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." And then another verse that's crucial to our understanding this concept is found in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, which says this: "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets." And so just these two passages of Scripture, here's what we can deduce: that there are things, there are those matters. And we shared with you that the word that's translated thing or matter here in this verse is the Hebrew word devar, which literally means word. There are those words that the Creator has hidden within His Word. And it's to His glory to do these things. And it's to our benefit to search out these things, to understand them, to embrace them, and to internalize them into our lives. And we also glean from Amos chapter 3 that not only does He have secrets, not only does He have things that have been hidden, but it is His desire to reveal these things to His people through His prophets, because obviously our Father wants us to know what He's doing in the earth. When I go and speak at congregations, a lot of times I will ask the congregation, how many of you are excited about what God is doing in the earth in these days? And typically the response is an overwhelming hallelujah and clapping and praising. But when I follow that question up with this one, how many of you know what God is doing in the earth in these days? Very few people respond in the same way they did to the first one. In other words, they have a puzzled look on their face, because it dawns on us that although we're excited about what God is doing in the earth in these days, few of us know what God is doing in the earth in these days, because we have not sought diligently. We have not dug. We haven't knocked. And if you don't do these things, we're not going to have these things be revealed to us. We're going to have to seek for them. And so, again, He wants us to understand these things, but there is a responsibility that we have, and that is to study His Word, to study the Scripture. And so, with that in mind, I want to also go back to something we mentioned last program, and that is rabbinical understanding of this is that there are four basic levels of interpretation. If you're going to study the Word, here's something you need to understand: that when you read it, it's going to literally say or literally mean what it says. That's called in Hebrew Peshat. That's the literal interpretation of Scripture. And then you have what is called Remez. And Remez is hinting at something. The Scriptures will often hint at something without saying it. And then there's what's called Derush. And Derush is homiletical teaching, line upon line. You want to inquire about an issue, you go to the Scripture and you search all the Scriptures until you can develop doctrine, not on one Scripture itself, but you take all these Scriptures and you put them together. That's what Derush is saying to us. And then we come to what's called Sod. And Sod literally means hidden. Sod means concealed. And it is this hidden thing, these hidden things, these concepts that we're talking about. Not, again, something that's hidden only for the elite to understand. No, it's hidden for all of His children who will seek for these things. And this rabbinical understanding, what's called parades, which is an acrostic for peshat, literal, remez, hence, derush, homiletical, and sod, hidden. Parades is a Hebrew word that means orchard. And so the idea here is that when we study the Scripture, we're going to find that it is an orchard. It is, there's lots to behold, there's lots to enjoy, and there is a lot to ingest. So with that concept in mind, I want you to again consider, as we shared with you in the previous program, a tree. that when you look at a tree, what we perceive, what we see, is the trunk, the branches, the foliage, the fruit. But all of those things are possible only because of what we don't see, and that is the root system. That is what is hidden underneath the ground. And even though we don't see it, it's the root system that comprises the most important component of that tree. In fact, again, if you're going to have fruit, something that you can eat and enjoy, it's going to be because there's a root system. Because we can take all the fruit away from the tree, we can remove all the foliage from the tree, we can even cut branches off, and we can carve our name into the trunk of the tree, and the tree can still live. But when we go and we sever the root system, the tree is going to slowly dry up and it will eventually die. And so as we try to understand this, that's one of the reasons we want to get back to the roots of our faith. That's the name of our ministry is Shorashim, which in Hebrew literally means roots. Because when we get back to the roots of our faith, that's where the life source comes from. We understand a lot of things about our faith. But I'm suggesting to you that it's those things that we haven't understood that may be some of the most important things for us to acknowledge and to embrace. Another example, again, is building. The walls, the ceiling, all the things that we do see in a building are there because of what we don't see. And that is the foundation. And so there are these hidden things in the Scripture that in some cases are the most important things that we'll ever understand. I'm going to give you an example because even Paul talks about the hidden wisdom. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, here's what the Apostle Paul says. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Notice the maturity there that's needed. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That is something that is hard to understand, something that's been obscure. And he goes on and he says, that is the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And so what we want to glean from this, ladies and gentlemen, is, well, many things, actually. And that is that when Paul talks about this hidden wisdom, he notes for us that this is something that the Creator had hidden from the very foundation of the world. And this hidden wisdom is there for our glory, he says. As a matter of fact, the Greek word that's translated glory in Paul's statement here is the same word that's used over in Proverbs 25, verse 2, when it talks about it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search out the matter. In other words, Paul's statement here in 1 Corinthians 2, if we were to take that Greek word and then translate it back into Hebrew, it would be the same Hebrew word that's used for glory in Proverbs 25, 2. As a matter of fact, when he talks about wisdom, the Greek word is apokrupto, something that's been hidden, something that is going to be unveiled. In fact, that's where we get the word revelation, as in the book of Revelation. Well, the Hebrew equivalent is the word that means hidden or concealed that's used in Proverbs 25, verse 2. What I'm trying to suggest to you is that what Paul is talking about here is essentially the same thing that's introduced to us in Proverbs 25, 2. God hides things, but He does it for our benefit. And what Paul says in this particular passage of Scripture is this, the most notable example of something that the Creator has hidden from the foundation of the world for His glory, but for our benefit, is that the Messiah would come, that the Word would become flesh, dwell among us, be hung upon a tree, be crucified, then be buried in a tomb and to be resurrected. Because he points out here that this is hidden because if the princes of this world had known, if they had been able to figure it out, if it had been very plain to them, if it hadn't been concealed, then they would have not permitted it to happen. And you have to think about this. If he doesn't go to the tree, and if he's not crucified, and if he's not placed in the tomb, and if he's not resurrected, then where does that leave you and me? Paul says, yet in our sin. So it's the difference between life and death. If this hidden wisdom is revealed for all the princes of the world to know, they would not let it happen, then you and I continue in our sin. And so it's very important that the Creator determine that this would remain concealed, that this would remain obscured, that this would remain hidden until it was time for it to be revealed so that His purposes could come to pass. And His purposes coming to pass is for our benefit. And so all of these things, ladies and gentlemen, are, again, to underscore that there are things that have been hidden. Let me read to you a concept from some rabbinic literature, which is to suggest that when the Messiah comes, these things would be revealed. It is written that all the Torah learned in the present world will be vain compared to the Torah of the Mashiach. In other words, what they were saying is that there's a lot of things about the Torah, the five books of Moses, that we do not understand. We have a little bit of understanding, but there are so many mysteries here and so many concepts that are hidden from our eyes, they will only be revealed when the Messiah comes. And I'm going to suggest to you that that understanding is in concert with what we're trying to suggest to you and what Paul is stating to us in 1 Corinthians 2, that the Father had some things that He wanted to remain hidden, to remain obscure until the Messiah would come. Because when the Messiah would come, the Word made flesh, then He would unveil these things. He would bring these things to their fulfillment. He would bring these things and make them full of meaning. And in Him, we begin to understand all these things that were obscure. And the psalmist is going to verify this for us. In Psalm 78, beginning at verse 1, it says this, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." And in Matthew chapter 13, we see that Messiah substantiates this. It says, "All these things Yeshua spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable He did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." Now, earlier in Matthew chapter 13, the Messiah mentions mysteries concerning or mysteries associated with the kingdom of heaven. Let's read that in Matthew 13, verse 10. "And the disciples came and said to Him, why do you speak to them in parables? And He answered and He said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So again, just to verify and to substantiate that the Scripture has many passages that address this idea that the Creator, from the very beginning of the world, He hid things. And specifically determined that many of them, and those things that are most important, like, if you will, the roots that support the tree, that many of them, those things that are most crucial to our relationship with Him, would be revealed to us through the Messiah and by the Messiah. And again, if the princes of the world had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. And so that was the biggest secret, that He would come and die on our behalf. Again, if He doesn't do that, we continue in our sin. And so it was incredibly important that that remain hidden until it was time for it to be revealed. But we also want to see this, that we, again, 2,000 years after the fact, we can go back to Genesis, and we can go to Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. We can look at the prophets, major and minor, and we can see how the Messiah is revealed through all of these things. It's easy for us to see it now because we're looking at it after the fact. It's already been revealed. But before, nobody saw it. Nobody understood it. There were many times Yeshua spoke to his disciples and said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise again on the third day. And he told them. And yet, how many of them understood it? How many of them grasped what he was really trying to say? In other words, what I'm getting at is this. It was hidden, but it was hidden in plain sight. It was hidden if you saw it, if it was revealed to you, you would see that it was right there in front of you. Let me read from Psalm chapter 40. It says, Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. Psalm 40, verse 7. And of course, this is talking about the Messiah. That the whole book is about Him. And yet, we find that He is hidden in the book. His identity, to some degree, was obscure before He was revealed. And yet, we understand that His death, His burial, and His resurrection is something that was established, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, from the very foundation of the world. The Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. But understanding all of that, even His disciples did not see it. There's a story that is recorded for us in the book of Luke where two of His disciples are on the road to Emmaus and they're discussing all the things of the day, and this is, of course, on the day of the resurrection, and they encounter a stranger who asks them what's been going on, and they're talking about the one we thought that was the Redeemer of Israel. He was crucified, He was buried, He rose again, we don't know what happened, His body's missing, and we're not really sure what's going on. We thought this was going to be the Messiah. And then, according to Luke chapter 24, verse 25, here's what the stranger says to these two disciples. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. So, in other words, here are two of His disciples, two people that we will presume have heard Him teach in person. And perhaps it's even possible that these two disciples have actually heard Him talk about being delivered up, going to the tree, being crucified, being raised up. We certainly know that the 12 heard this on more than one occasion. But nevertheless, here are two of His disciples, and yet they did not figure out what was supposed to happen. It was concealed from them. It was obscure to them. And so when they encounter this stranger, then this stranger, of course, is the Messiah Himself, but their eyes are, this is hidden from their eyes. They don't see this. It's concealed. And so as they begin to discuss these things with Him, here's what He did. He tells them, look, why don't you believe everything that's written? And He goes back to Moses, and He goes back to the prophets, and He begins to open these things up for them, to reveal it. Look, these things were written long ago. They were established in the very beginning. Going back to Moses is, of course, referring to the Torah, the five books of Moses, and all the prophets. And so my point is, these things had always been there. They were from the foundation of the world. Again, the Lamb is slain not 4,000 years after the creation of the world, but the Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. And yet, no one understood exactly God's purpose and plan. No one foresaw that the Word would become flesh, that who and what Yeshua is, and that He is the Creator made manifest in the flesh. No one understood that. No one perceived it. It was hidden from their eyes. And yet, Yeshua acknowledges that these things were there all the time. They were there in Moses. They were there in the prophets. It's just that these things were hidden until it was time for them to be revealed. And so Yeshua Himself is the one who reveals these things to them. And of course, the story continues. And when they go into the house and they're breaking matzah, because it was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it was when He broke the bread. Of course, the word is many times used or identified with bread. But when He broke the bread, that's when their eyes were opened and He was revealed to them. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like I'm probably overdoing this somewhat, but I want you to grasp this concept that there are things that have been kept hidden And when it was time for them to be revealed, that's when the Father revealed them. And all of these things, the reason they were kept hidden was for our benefit. If he had not hidden the fact that the Word would become flesh and die and be resurrected, then there would have been people who would have tried to stop it. And if they'd stopped it, that would have meant death for you and me. So our Father doesn't hide because he doesn't want us to know. He hides because he wants us to come into an understanding and to mature in this relationship with him. And flesh and blood is not going to reveal these things to you. It's not going to come through Bill Cloud or anybody else for that matter. Ultimately, these things are going to be revealed to us, not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God. In fact, you'll remember the account when the Messiah is asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then ultimately, who do you say that I am? And then Peter jumps up and says, you are the Messiah and the Son of the living God. And Yeshua says, look, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 7. And that this pronouncement that Peter makes, that you are the Messiah and the Son of the living God, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the foundation of our faith. Interestingly, the word for foundation in Hebrew is yesod. And yesod, if you'll recall from the previous program, is related to the word sod, which means hidden or concealed. In other words, Peter was acknowledging, not only are you the Messiah, but you are the Son of the living God. The foundation of our faith, something that had been hidden and yet was revealed. The things that we do see, the things that we do perceive, based on things that we didn't. Those things that we didn't are actually what's holding everything else up. And the fact that the Word would become flesh, die on our behalf, that foundational truth, ladies and gentlemen, is what makes everything else we do understand and perceive to thrive and to grow. And if we ever lose that foundation, if we ever discard that He is the Messiah and Son of the living God, then everything else will crumble and fall. Let me read another passage of Scripture to you in these last few minutes we have to underscore the truth that it is the Spirit of God who's going to reveal these things to us. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And so the Spirit of God is the one who ultimately is going to reveal these hidden things to us. As a matter of fact, we read a passage from Paul earlier when he quotes Isaiah and says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't even entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. You know, when I was growing up in church, that was always read within the context of when we get to heaven. That our eyes can't imagine what heaven's going to look like and our ears can't imagine what it's going to sound like. It hasn't even dawned on us what heaven's going to be like. But when you go back and read what Paul was saying, the context is not heaven. The context was the hidden wisdom of God, those things that God has kept hidden in His Word. And so what he was really trying to convey to us is this, that our eyes have not seen, our ears haven't heard, our hearts haven't even perceived all the things that God has concealed within His Word, that He's kept hidden, that are waiting to be revealed to those who love Him. But if they are going to be revealed to us, it's going to come by the Spirit of God, who searches, yes, the deep things of God. Not deep in the sense that you have to have a PhD behind your name to understand. No. Deep in the sense that you're going to have to dig for it. You're going to have to search diligently through His Word and appeal to our Father that by His Spirit He would make known to us those things that He wishes to reveal to us, that our relationship will continue to mature in Him. I have one last scripture that I want to read to you today that's going to segue from what we're talking about this week into our next program. But this is taken from the book of Job, chapter 12. It says, He uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. In other words, once again, these things that are in the darkness, these things that are hidden, these things that are obscure, it is the Spirit of God who brings these things out of darkness into light. And that's what we want to do. We want to take these things that are embedded, encoded, you know, hidden within the Scripture, these things that in some cases are obscure. We want the Spirit of God to help us to understand, to bring these things out of darkness into light, that we may understand Him better, that we may perceive His purposes for our day and time better, that you and I can be equipped to do what we were placed here to do. I hope that you're gleaning some things from these programs. I hope that you're being provoked to go and search the Scriptures to see if these things be true. And I hope that you're planning on being with us next weekend, next week. We'll be back. We're going to be talking about concealed and revealed again. So looking forward to next week. Join us then. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.